Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a happy birthday to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
This is the first year where I don't care.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm enjoying the presence. I like people saying hi to me, mm-hmm. and going, it's a special day.
Yeah.
I think because 30 is such a big one, because like, oh my God, the social pressure of turning 30. Mm. And I need to do a big party where people come in and celebrate. Now that's out the way, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty fine to just sit back and get taken to a restaurant.
Yeah.
And then be able to watch what I want for the weekend.
So when I spent like 3-4 years of my birthday not in the country. I was always just away, not like planned or anything. I was just often like, oh, I'm away, and it's over my birthday, but that doesn't really matter. We'll just do something for my birthday while we're there. And I did that so much that like birthday now don't really... Like last year was the first time I'd ever actually celebrated my birthday in about 10 or so years with people.
That was a good birthday, that was.
Thank you very much.
Stranger Things themed.
Yeah.
That this guy and his girlfriend won best costume for.
Yep.
Yes.
And it was the first time I just thought like, I should do something this year. I'm going to do something this year. But I imagine when I hit 34 in December, I'm not going to be as enthused.
Well, do something you did. You locked that in like April.
I had to. It's in December.
Well, you know, if anyone Christmas can get time. Tickets, the Grease sing-along, April 26th at the Prince Charles.
Is that when we're doing it?
That's, yep, I've got 6 people so far, me included.
Well, you may have another 2.
Ooh.
I'll confirm with my wife over the weekend.
It is my school friends, remember, so they might make you drink stuff you don't like.
Well, that's not going to happen because we've had these conversations before. I just say no.
No one can resist the slow clap. When you're like, you know what, I don't want to have that shot of viscous liquid. And then one person stands up like this, and then someone else stands up, and then you've got 20 people just clapping you and cheering. You just do it. Something happens the moment the adrenaline kicks in.
I will show you that I am vulnerable. No, invulnerable to it. Damn it.
You're going to do so many press-ups.
We've got a Rusev Hey with a difference, apparently. This one comes in from Daniel. It says, hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, but not Andy. I thought I'd give you an insight into something. As you know, people on the podcast typically don't say hello to Andy. So it came as no surprise when on a conference call with Sasha Banks last night, Datsun was blanked again.
Yes.
Even the boss and WWE staff have been told not to say hello to him. Also for his name for his fans, Dat Sons and Dat Daughters.
Hmm. I mean, there's very few of Dat Daughters, I imagine.
Yeah, so I didn't know this story.
So when was this? Because he was on a media call. He is occasionally on the media calls. Because,
yeah, so this was sent 3 days ago.
Work. It's minion work.
Yeah.
I think he was on one last week. I didn't know Sasha Banks was on the call, though.
Hmm.
Yeah. We need Andy to be a part of it. I think because this is our first week of live streams.
Yeah.
And has there been any podcast correspondence back for, you know, because change...
People haven't said anything about the podcast sounding a bit weird, which I was a bit concerned about. I wasn't sure that it'd feel a bit too haphazard, but no one said anything either way, so I'm guessing it's okay.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing because you can be like, oh, I can join in with the show if I, you know, just show up at 3 p.m. GMT, whatever time zone that is in my country, and I can comment along and interact and see it happen live.
Or you just watch it when you normally watch it, just later on, because it's always going to be there. We'll have this quick Wrestle Talk Get Better before we get into the show. It comes in from Gareth. Hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, not so much, Macho Man, Randy Datsun. I mentioned before that I was going to email in with my Wrestle Talk Get Better, and here it is. I always loved this segment, and it was Ollie talking about ectomorphs and endomorphs, which made me spiral worryingly. Made me spiral, worrying I may be part xenomorph. All joking aside, Ollie touched on this subject, and it sparked me to look into a little closer. I've been bang on 10 stone for years and years, and have always been skinny and unhappy with my appearance. Hard gainers like myself can really struggle to put on weight and maintain it. I don't want to be massive, but I want to look like I fill out my t-shirts and not just have them hang off my shoulders. Fit t-shirts.
Would
be my tan advice.
Get smaller t-shirts.
I now spend Tuesdays batch cooking my lunches for the week, which enables me to stick to an eating routine, which, trust me, took some getting used to. So now I eat like this: 8 o'clock, breakfast, 12 o'clock, lunch 1, 4 o'clock, lunch 2, half 7, dinner, 10 o'clock, high-calorie protein shake. Combine this with low reps and high weight, focusing on compound exercises at the gym.
Oh, you're talking my language.
Compound exercises at the gym 3 days a week, and I'm finally starting to see some progress. People in work have asked me if I'm wearing a small shirt. I wear a medium, mate. I've solved an issue prior there. Just wear small t-shirts. And a friend even noticed enough to seek my advice to starting his own personal Get Better. I've got to say, this is an amazing feeling, and having tried to build mass many times, spending the time to put in a lot of research really has helped. I just want to thank you guys for the inspiration to give it another shot, and to Ollie for inadvertently guiding me down the right path. I have gained 9 pounds so far and attached some progress pics. The first one is from week 1 to 8, and the second one is more recent, plus one of my meal preps. So this is, look at this for progress, mate.
That's 4 kilograms. Oh, look at this hunk.
I know, right?
Whoa.
It's Finn Balor over here.
It is a bit Finn Balor. He's even got his arms weirdly static by his sides. Yeah,
and that's him even more recently.
Well played.
Congratulations, sir. And that's his meal prep.
Oh, my God. Look, there's so many reasons to do it, because it's healthier. It's going to get you in shape. And it's cheaper. Like, it doesn't cost as much.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you, Gareth.
Well done. Very proud
of you. Very happy for you, sir. But let's get into the show. We were short on topics today, so we are predicting the WrestleMania 36 card, I think, is on the main topic of conversation, or the fallout of WrestleMania 35. Here is the show. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity, dog.
Breaking. Dig, dig. So this comes from the report from Dave Meltzer's Wrestling Observer newsletter this week that the WrestleMania main event this year, WrestleMania 35, which we now know WWE have confirmed, and they're always so true to their word.
I don't think they can go back on this one, though, because ESPN have covered it now, so they can't change their minds now. I think once it's out in sort of like... Okay, when they announce something on Twitter, like, it'll be a fatal four-way, that doesn't matter because that's just screaming it into the ether. They've got, like, 20 billion followers that are, you know, mostly bots or whatever anyway, so it doesn't really matter. It's only you and I that pick up on that. When it goes up onto mainstream media sites, they have to stick to those plans.
I don't know. I could see it becoming a four-way. I could see it becoming a one-on-one. I could see it a hell in... I reckon SmackDown go-home angle... Hell in a Cell. The main event. It's me as a 12-year-old fantasy booking every feud that I liked in the Attitude Era. Always ends in a Hell in a Cell.
And it's also a ladder match.
Yeah. So you've got to get on top of them.
Exactly. So you've got to get the ladder on top of the cell and then go up. Also, it's on fire.
Yes. Yeah. Which part? The ladder?
Well, the hell in a cell. Like, literally.
Yeah.
If you want to call it Hell in a Cell, you've got to omit as much hell as possible. Fire.
Commit.
Yeah, commit to
it. The audience.
Yeah.
Set them on fire in this just awful apocalyptic vision of wrestling future. Right, so because of that, we know that it's going to be Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte versus Becky Lynch. We don't know how many titles are on the line.
No, so finish what you're going to say and then we'll talk about what we think the rules are.
So the line from the Wrestling Observer is The plan is to come out of this main event with a clear direction for next year's WrestleMania, WrestleMania 36. And that to me says it's in the vein of John Cena and The Rock setting up next year's WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
At the end of this year's show.
And so it could set up Becky versus Charlotte to be one of the big matches of next year, or Charlotte versus Ronda, or Becky versus Ronda. And yeah, so essentially we're going to set up what the next, what possibly next year's main event will be. But as Meltzer says, this is 2019 Vince McMahon. Mm. It'll change 1,000 times a week.
Yeah. So yeah, let's try and so we can better predict what the big angle coming out of WrestleMania 35 that's going to set up next year's WrestleMania. Let's figure out what the main event this year actually is.
So, one report has said that both titles are on the line, but only for Becky. So if Becky pins Charlotte, she becomes the SmackDown Women's Champion.
Oh,
but if she pins Ronda, she becomes the Raw Women's Champion.
Yeah.
But if Ronda pins Becky, she keeps her Raw Women's Championship. And if she pins Charlotte, she doesn't become SmackDown Women's Champion. And if Charlotte pins Ronda, she doesn't become Raw Women's Champion. If she pins Becky, she keeps her title.
Jesus. I mean, it's... Yeah. Yeah, it's a simple thing to grasp, but to explain it is long.
It's like... Cut to Mike tonight. The rules are very simple.
Five sheets. It's like, hey, this is War Games. You want to know what War Games is? Sit through my 47-slide Drew Gulak-style PowerPoint presentation.
Absolutely.
You know what? And I always loved this about ECW. An ECW three-way, the rules are, it's kind of an elimination where the first person, the first pin eliminates that person, then it goes down to a two-person. I get, does that have a specific name in WWE?
I was just trying to think of what that name is.
Three-way dance?
A three-way dance, yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
so, I mean, sure. Chuck that in.
Yeah.
How many pinfalls do you want?
Yeah, but you don't want to pin too many people and make them look weak, do you?
Mm.
You want to try and protect people as much as possible to head into next year's WrestleMania.
Ideally, you don't want to pin anyone, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Count out victories. So everyone gets counted out, and that's the build to a rematch next year.
On a more serious note, do you want to hear...
I'm being serious. After the last month of booking...
Me and Laurie were talking about this on yesterday's NXT show, that you end WrestleMania with Becky pinning Ronda. She's now your Raw Women's Champion. Charlotte is the SmackDown Women's Champion. You almost have like your Eddie Benoit WrestleMania 20 moment where you have almost a Charlotte Flair face turn of them holding their belts up together. Bayley and Banks come down.
Yeah, yeah.
And all four horsewomen. And then you get... Shayna Baszler, Jessamyn Duke, and Marina Shafir come down with Ronda. You have a stare-off there with the four horsewomen versus the four horsewomen, and that's how you build to next year's WrestleMania.
You know what? That's a fantastic... I mean, it's not a fantastic way to do it. There are many like glaring holes there that WWE will just skirt over, like Becky and Charlotte are very much sworn enemies. But you can...
Frenemies.
You can tell the story through their match of them... coming together to work against Ronda.
Mm-hmm.
I would ideally like that to have been set up in story going into it.
Well, we had to do all those suspensions
and injury angles. So something's got to give.
Exactly, yeah. Story had to, you know, take a back seat.
And one of the scrapped original endings of WrestleMania that I believe Fightful reported, they said that... you know, you're going to have the three... It was going to be Ronda versus Becky, or it's going to be Becky... or Charlotte, whatever combination of people it was, the ending was going to be very similar to Evolution, where Stephanie McMahon walks down, everyone hugs, the whole women's roster at the top of the ramp, they're all hugging, and you're like, yeah, what a lovely moment, but also, you know, I like to believe in the realism of it. Evolution, I thought it worked perfectly. I bought into that, especially because they did a good job of keeping some people away from others.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until afterwards that Becky and Ronda were just photographed standing next to each other.
They hate each other,
yeah,
don't they?
But I wouldn't like to have that as the closing angle of WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I would like this to be taken legit seriously. That's a personal preference of mine.
Mm. So you've got... Charlotte's great. Ronda seems like she's going to leave. Those are what all the reports have said. But, you know, Brock Lesnar. People have been saying that for... years.
Well, yeah.
He's still here.
this is the other thing that was in the Observer, is that Meltzer was saying that it all, really, the finish of the match depends on if Ronda is staying or not. Because, like Lesnar last year, the plan was for Roman to win. Plan all day long, Roman is winning the title. Until Lesnar signed the contract extension, and then Lesnar won, because that would shock the audience. So, swerve again, we all think Becky's winning, Ronda signs a short extension, or she decides to stick around for a little bit longer, and she gets the win at the end of the night. The audience is very shocked.
Mm. Now, I hope Ronda stays a few months more, because her heel character, like, it's like when Batista turned heel in that first time. He only had 2 months of heel Batista, really, in that John Cena feud, and then he was gone.
He's duct taped out of there.
Yeah, and I missed him so, like, that was such a good run, but it was so brief. I feel like that might be Ronda's heel character. She only turned heel about 2 weeks ago. And then she's going to be gone. But that isn't to say that she should win at Mania. I think Becky's got to win. Case in point, Braun Strowman. There's only so many bits of momentum you can miss. And granted, they've given Becky all the good wins so far. You know, like she won the Royal Rumble. She won the belt back in SummerSlam?
No, that was Charlotte, because that's what sparked the heels.
Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell, yeah. And then she didn't get pinned at TLC to lose it. So I think they've done a good job with Becky. This isn't like last chance saloon for Becky.
No.
But in terms of building the company of Ronda's leaving, you want to build it and give the win to the person who's hottest and is going to stay there for the long term.
Something else I've just thought about as well. This is something that has been reported. I can't remember who reported this now. It might have been Meltzer. It might have been someone else. That said that one of WWE's big plans they want this year is they want to have a female wrestling match on one of the Saudi shows.
Yes.
So if they could swing that for the May show, Ronda keeps the belt until after WrestleMania, and then you do Ronda Becky at the Saudi show, which is the big one-on-one match we all wanted to see, and you just move it to the Saudi show rather than Mania.
So Becky pins Charlotte and wins the title.
No. So Ronda retains at WrestleMania, and she keeps her title, and she wins the match. And then you do Ronda Becky in the Saudi show, and that's where Becky gets the big win. And you can do the big ESPN, Becky wins the title in first women's match in Saudi Arabia, this, that, and the other.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm just saying I'm playing devil's advocate.
Well, if they go that way, because I do think, you know, that would be good to have a women's match in Saudi Arabia, and that's a very good way to do it. But I don't think that should sacrifice Becky's win at Mania. So you just have her win one belt at Mania and then have her win the other belt in Saudi Arabia.
But there are no plans to unify the belts as far as...
Well, she just holds the two belts and she appears on both shows for a bit. She loses it at the next pay-per-view.
But that also contradicts the reports that WWE want separate champions on both brands.
So this is where I think Charlotte winning the SmackDown title is created a lot of problems.
Yeah, hasn't it just?
Because really, the way to get the belt off Ronda and keep the Ronda versus Becky match alive for WrestleMania 36, if that's what they're planning on doing, is to not have Becky beat Ronda. Ronda loses the title without getting pinned. That's a legitimate grievance and motivation to come back for next year's feud. But now you've got a belt on Charlotte, and you've got potentially the weird rule where whoever gets pinned loses their championship. That really muddies things and doesn't allow you to protect the people you wanted to protect.
What's more maddening about this is that, going by reports, the decision will be made on Raw as to what the rules of the match are. Like, they're basically just planning out now, like all this week and all this weekend, what are the rules of this match, and we'll announce it on Raw.
Well, we've had, I have sympathy for
just
that,
think though. About that in advance, though, mate.
But we've had that sometimes. Like, oh, what are we going to do with the thing next? Just do it on Monday.
Well, like we do every Wrestle Ramble.
Or Wrestle Ramble. Big channel splitting storylines.
Yeah.
So there's one, unless you've got any other bits.
No.
I was going to say another name. And I think this would have been a real good shout prior to the sexual assault allegations that have come out against him. Because I think it was Tuesday, Conor McGregor is like, yeah, I'm retired, by the way. Ha ha, you won't let me. I think he wanted points. He wanted shares in UFC. and UFC were like, no. There's a lot of interesting business stuff going on in UFC, very similar to how the WWE Network has changed the way wrestlers are remunerated for performing. Before, UFC MMA fighters would get a cut of the pay-per-view business. That's what all their contracts are built upon. But now a new deal has been put in place with ESPN, I want to say, and UFC, where a lot of this will go on the streaming service, nullifying the pay-per-view model of how fighters get their kickbacks. Exactly what happened with wrestlers when the network came along. Exactly what CM Punk was so aware of when that first started to chip into people's bonuses.
And according to Punk, at the very least, WWE didn't really have an answer as to how it would change things.
Yeah. So anyway, all that aside, but that's the reason, I mean, also him being generally insane, that he said, oh yeah, I'm retired, by the way, and playing games and stuff. So I thought, what, like, WWE, how could they get bigger? You get the biggest pay-per-view draw in the world, Conor McGregor, to show up at WrestleMania. There's the MMA connection there with Ronda Rousey. I know it's very tenuous, but MMA, you just chuck those two people together. But there's also a pre-existing relationship with Becky Lynch.
Yes.
They've tweeted back and forth. They're both Irish.
And all Irish people know each other.
Yeah.
They all grew up in the same town.
The story writes itself. But then, like, the next day, The New York Times reported that Conor McGregor is under investigation for a sexual assault that took place in Dublin in December. So I think, especially on a women's evolution focused show, I can't see it happening now. But I bet it was talked about, like, before the sexual assault allegations.
Well, I mean, the reports were that Triple H was desperate to get WWE involved in the McGregor-Mayweather fight last year. They wanted to do something at SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. They wanted to do, like, a contract signing at SummerSlam or something like that, so they could do this big, if you subscribe to the WWE Network, you can see the next chapter of the McGregor-Mayweather storyline. Because it was a storyline, let's be honest. That was a more worked match than WrestleMania will be. So I could definitely see them wanting to get involved in that because he's got mainstream appeal. And with the Fox deal coming up to October very soon, like, that's not that far away. That'll come around quicker than we think about it. They'll want, like, a big name star that they can put onto the show, put on the posters. And then you've got, like, Lesnar, McGregor, Rousey, Roman, and, you know, all the big names that they like to build the company around can go onto the Fox brand.
Yeah, and I think McGregor, weirdly, we were talking about it earlier, that the parallels with Mike Tyson when he was brought in.
WWE Hall of Famer, Mike Tyson.
Yeah, when he was brought. A man who has never had a cup of coffee.
Really?
Only drinks tea. Never drunk coffee in his life. Isn't that remarkable?
Well, that is remarkable. I also found out this week that Kevin Mahan of the Ajadir podcast has never worn jeans. Like, he's worn jeans once, and that was because he had to buy them when he went to a job.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
What does he usually wear?
God knows. Jogging bottoms, maybe?
Blimey, what a life. But yeah, so Mike Tyson, he came in for the 1998 WrestleMania 17?
No, maybe a couple of years before that. 14?
It was 15. A Shawn Michaels Stone Cold match.
It was 15.
And that was a huge...
No, it was 14.
That was a huge needle mover in terms of the Monday Night Wars and just getting a huge influx 14. Of mainstream casual viewers to watch the product. And that's because, I mean, Mike Tyson was a few years past his peak popularity by then and had done 3 years in jail for rape because he was convicted for that. But then, you know, he came back and he appeared there. So there is a history to having these big name performers come in just for sort of special enforcer roles. The only sticking point, I would say, otherwise it's a fantastic idea, is this sexual assault allegation.
Yeah, that will certainly go against them because it would be very hypocritical of WWE to have fired Enzo Amore amidst accusations of sexual harassment or sexual allegations and and then bring Conor McGregor in while he's also in the midst of them.
Yeah, you're right. WWE wouldn't do something hypocritical regarding their women's PR.
I just don't think it's in their character.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's, by the way, the Conor McGregor stuff is purely speculation on our part.
On my part.
There's nothing that's come out recently because of this. But there is a track record of both sides talking with each other. Last year's Mania as well. Apparently they were in talks, but they just couldn't come to terms on money because McGregor commands a ridiculously high price tag.
But now we've got that Saudi money, we've got that Fox money to play with.
Sweet, sweet Saudi money. Just compound the controversy.
Exactly, by throwing money at it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're wondering to yourself, what the heck is this a crap gimmick? Well, that's a segment we do here each and every Saturday on the Wrestle Ramble, where you, the Swaff Nation, send to us your crap gimmicks, and then we, the bookers of crap gimmick wrestling, decide whether we want to sign them or not. We pick them at random, although if you... It's big backlog, you know the story by now. This one comes in from Reese Collier from August 17th last year. Below is my submission for CG Dub. I hope you and Ollie like it. Love all your content. From you, Ollie and El Fakador, I would be a pledgehammer if I could, because your content is more than fun. Okay, now that I'm done being a fanboy, here's my gimmick. Max Meme. Max Meme is a young professional wrestler whose favorite pastime is to look at and create memes. He incorporates them to every aspect of his character and mentions them whenever possible. He could come out to a variety of different themes. All-Star by Smash Mouth, Africa by Toto, We Are Number One from the TV show Lazy Town. Any of these genuinely great songs, but for the context of a wrestling show, let's go with the best of both worlds. Maybe throw in an air horn or distortion effect for good measure. Max's promos would consist of him referencing many memes verbally to the crowd, to little or no reaction. He sometimes tries to get the production team to put his favourite meme up onto the Titantron, but they never can because they don't have a clue what he's talking about most of the time because they're very obscure. Max's ring gear will be different each week to match the ever-changing meme landscape. He may start off with a basic top text, bottom text meme circa 2012 on his tights, but then in a few months he might wear weird abstract gear to represent the weird millennial humour of today. It's in quotation marks. To summarise his gear though, it would be basic, brightly coloured tights with memes covering the sides.
So it changes all the time, but basically...
But there is a basic design. His signature moves would be, brackets, prepare to see how I would be the only person who would like Max Meme with my niche meme knowledge, play along at home if you know and understand them, close brackets. A massive chop followed by a falcon arrow he calls massive damage, a name he screams when he hits it, a delayed suplex where he holds his opponent to make the upside down L shape before finishing the move, screaming wah during the move, a move he calls easy peasy Waluigi, and more frequent changing moves.
I don't get any of those.
Well, I think it's more wah. I should have been more like that as opposed to wah.
Oh, so that's a meme?
Well, it's the Luigi noise.
I know that much.
I know who Waluigi
is. I know it's the Waluigi noise. I'm not an idiot.
I've got a Switch.
Yeah.
I just played Mario Party.
I just don't know if that's been picked up by the meme community.
I don't know. Well,
I'm not dank.
I know Luigi certainly did when it was for the Mario Kart trailer when he was giving people the evil eye.
Wah!
Is that your Waluigi?
Yeah, it's not as good as yours.
Wah!
Wah!
I think that's more Wario, though.
Wah!
Because it's more like, Wah, Luigi! Wah!
Wario is my go-to Mario Kart.
Wario!
I like the big guys.
Yeah, Donkey Kong was my, for Mario 64, Mario Kart 64, that was my.
Big guys on a motorbike. That's how I play. That's how I play. Yeah.
Anyway, Max Meme.
Yes.
I had to truncate some of this down because it was a very long submission.
You know what? It's very well written, Rhys, and it's very well researched. I don't know what you're talking about. I know, my friend doesn't know what a meme is.
Really?
I have tried to explain. And he's like...
Do you even explain?
You go back to Richard Dawkins. You say this is the selfish gene. You make them read that. And they say there's this little part called a meme. It's the one component. And then people build it. But yes, he's not getting it.
Oh.
He's it's been years.
My university housemate back in
ironically, it's Mario. He's my friend Mario.
My university housemate, sort of back in 2004, 2005, used to call them memes.
Ah, oh, bless. GIF, GIF.
It's all the same.
There's no character there, is what I'm struggling with.
What are you trying to say about wrestling memes?
There's no memes. Actual Tom from
Tom
Wrestling
Memes
who wrestles. But that's different.
What you just said, though, is he's rubbish and there's no character.
No. This is about memes.
I'm totally going to send this to
Tom,
him.
Tom Antsy has made,
text him when we get
made
out of
a character.
Be like, Tom, Ollie was shooting hard on you.
He's made a really good character. Like someone who believes in his abilities too much. Who's the meme fame has gone to his head, and he's made a meme out of that, which is that's smart. This is just a scattergun approach. How dare you? Love wrestling memes. The person.
Yes. Oh, and the Twitter feed.
General.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom. Anyway, this comes in from Chris on November 17th. Hello, Luke. No one else I want to hasten to add. I'm a long-time fan and I greatly enjoy all the WrestleTalk content. I have a heel female tag team for the crap gimmicks called the Jam Sisters. And just to emphasize they're a heel, he's put brackets, heel. The Jam Sisters...
Maybe that's their name.
Or the Jam Sister heel. Jam Sister, open bracket, heels, close bracket. Could be.
I think the Heel Sisters could be a good name for a tag team.
Get to work on it, folks.
And they wear flats. Why? The name.
The Jam Sisters are twins, a tag team from the UK, England, named Strawberry and Marmalade, and are often referred to as the sensual English muffins. They are heels, just to make sure we get that point across, and during promos after a successful win, they present a toast to each other in which they how hot they are. And if that wasn't enough, they also keep their manager or advocate, if you will, in tow. This manager books them into matches with the freshest of talents and brings a little more flavor to the commentary booth during all their bouts. Their manager, a well put together woman, usually dressed in office attire with a great tan and shiny oiled skin, is called Bianca Butters. Their tag team finisher is the cream cheese. Marmalade has a cannonball on the opponents in the corner, then pulls them out to fall flat and be hit with a frog splash in the top row by Strawberry for the pin. Thanks for reviewing my admission. All the best from the US to Fakador, Wonder Ollie, and the other one.
Chris, that's just bad. That's just bad, man. You can't just put descriptive words in prose that don't really have anything to do with the character. And describe them that way.
When I think of Strawberry and Marmalade, I don't think fresh.
Or oiled.
No, oiled.
Where's
is one.
Where's oiled coming
yeah,
from?
Yeah, no, I don't know that one either.
Jam Sisters. Muffins. I feel like this is very much written from someone who isn't English.
Well, he is from the US.
Yeah. And they've just seen a few generic bits about England, and they've done a superficial reading of that as a concept. Sorry, this is... thanks for sending it in.
Thank you very much.
It's no good.
And this was sent in by Nick Feldkamp on March 25th, 2019.
Whoa, that was this week.
That was this week. That's how random we're picking them, folks. He has suggested in a powerful heel. Well, I missed some of this email.
A name is lacking, isn't it?
Ah, he's called Endgame. Sorry, I missed the start of the email. Okay. So he's called Endgame. He is a powerful heel who only comes out for a show once a year. He holds an Undertaker-like presence, but his ideology is simple. He wants to eliminate opponents who he deems unworthy for CG dub. He defends his belief that he's the only one true worthy competitor that once a year can show up and develop a streak that he can ultimately be conquered. His finisher is the snap, which is him snapping his fingers followed by a KO punch. He should be a big brute like Walter. That would be perfect.
There's not much meat on this.
It's basically, I think you just wanted to say Endgame.
Yeah, I feel like it needs a few more gems on the gauntlet.
Yeah.
It's a bit lacking. I also think for crap gimmick wrestling, you don't need the punch. You should just do the snap, and the person should sell it like they've been hit.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Or sometimes they don't. It's like a 50-50 thing.
When's it going to work?
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I like the idea of someone coming out once a year as a crappy version of our Undertaker. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's just not enough on there.
Okay, so we have Endgame, we've got the Jam Sisters, and we've got Max Meme.
None of them for me, I'm afraid.
There's none for me as well. And if you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers over on Patreon at any dollar amount and leave your comment in the community section. We do want to apologize as well that our review of WrestleMania 20 is late.
Who would have thought engaging in a total war with upstart Screenstalker channel would take up so much time?
And then when you have to record almost twice the amount of content that you were previously doing... Mm. With one studio space. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. The Chopper's going to be around more. That's the plan. And usually it would be totally fine. It just the workload of extra fun videos took its toll.
It did a little bit, yes. We are very sorry about that, but we'll be looking to try and get it done next week. But if you are a $10 backer, Ramble Club will be up on Monday, because we're going to be recording that very shortly.
Yeah, you won't miss out on any episodes. Like, it will just be... This month will be late.
Yes, exactly. Noah Trombley asked, which title reign, in your opinion, was worse? Triple H's reign of terror as world heavyweight champion from 2002 to 2005, or all of Brock Lesnar's time as Universal Champion? I mean,
that's
a fairly easy one for me to answer. I wasn't watching in that period of 2002 to 2005. In fact, really, I dropped off WrestleMania X8, so yeah, that would have been 2002, and I got back into it at New Year's Revolution 2005, and Triple H would lose the title 3 months later. So yeah, I've gone back and watched all the pay-per-views, and they are pretty bad, but I didn't have to live through it. I lived through it retroactively.
But you could argue that it drove you away almost as a fan.
But it wasn't him winning the title that drove me away. It was Hogan winning the title in 2002, which I thought was utterly ridiculous.
It's weird because...
Preposterous.
The problem is Brock Lesnar isn't there enough.
No.
Whereas Triple H was there way too
all
much.
All the time, yeah.
I think Brock Lesnar's upside as champion, but you're talking all the reigns, because his most recent reign has been abhorrent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just basing all my Lesnar goodwill goes back to that feud with Goldberg, which I adore. I've got to go Lesnar, actually, just because Triple H wasn't actively damaging the appeal. He was just boring.
I think some fans might say that he was damaging the appeal.
Yeah.
But I wasn't one of them.
But at least he didn't slow down. At least he didn't stop a whole division. He just sat on top of it.
I think he did with Goldberg, though.
I know what. I'm not articulating my point well. But at least there was a division.
At least
that's
there was
what
a
I'm
champion.
Saying. Yeah. At least there was a champion.
Connor Kiran says, I love your live reviews, but I want to get involved, and I finish work at 3:00. Can you not do them at 4, so at 2:00, so I can watch along? I know it's selfish, but you've got to ask. 3 p.m. works for US viewers.
Yeah. We can tinker. We're doing 3 o'clock at the moment, but all the clocks change this weekend.
Certainly do.
Should we talk about WrestleMania?
If you want to talk about it, mate, do you want me to bring up the...
Let's pencil something in. Let's pencil this in, folks. We have genuinely enjoyed doing the live streams.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by how much fun they are. It's weird because we don't change anything.
No.
We've just got an Andy there and you guys... It feels like we're all in the same space together. So we were talking about doing WrestleMania live stream watch along, and then that became NXT.
Yeah, so here's what is happening. On Friday, this is the plan. It's penciled in at the moment, but I'm pretty sure this is what's going to happen. On Friday, we're going to do a watch along of NXT TakeOver New York.
That's me, Luke and Laurie.
Yes. And then the same three will be doing a live watch along of the G1 Supercard from Madison Square Garden.
New Japan and Ring of Honor.
And then on Sunday, we're going to do a live watch along of WrestleMania 35.
With just some mates as well, yeah, who are also going to come into this.
Some of our friends who would usually watch WrestleMania with us, but we've got to come to work, are just going to come and watch it with us and kind of sit off camera.
Wrestle Talk and Friends.
Yeah, that's yeah. Then on Monday, we're going to watch the Raw After Mania live.
That's just me and you.
Just me and you. And on Tuesday, we're going to watch the SmackDown after WrestleMania live as well, and we'll be live streaming our reactions to that. If you are just a Wrestle Ramble viewer, we're gonna do Wrestle Ramble reviews as well. So there'll be like the 8-hour watch along of WrestleMania, but then there'll be like the hour and a half Wrestle Ramble review that will go up the following day. Same with TakeOver, same with the G1 Supercard, same with Raw, same with SmackDown.
They'll be live streamed, but they'll be later in the day. So they'll like 5 p.m. British time.
Yeah.
Because we'll be coming in and doing that first and then staying through till like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah, because we'll finish like first thing in the morning, go home, kip for a bit, and then come back in to work.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then we'll be back to normal on the 14th of April. So 5 days of staying up very late, and then I'll run a marathon.
You've got to run a marathon, mate.
4 days after.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Anton writes in to ask, the other day, Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez were discussing the success of Shinsuke Nakamura and Tetsuya Naito going on excursions to Mexico to improve their gimmick and character work. Why doesn't WWE encourage excursions for their developmental talent? Yeah. The closest instance I can think of is firing Drew McIntyre for him to then return to NXT after successful runs in TNA and the Indies. In your opinions, which wrestlers on the roster could use similar excursion work to work on many facets of a successful wrestler to thrive in the WWE?
The reason this model works so well is that the New Japan Dojo just makes you learn basics for years. You're just doing the
solid fundamentals.
Solid fundamentals for ages. And you're not allowed to have a gimmick. The whole point is that you wrestle in just plain black trunks, plain black boots, and you're not allowed to do any real character work.
The young boys.
Yeah, the young boys. And then you just, you work your way up and you get onto the opening matches of a show and you get beaten by older, more established stars and you learn a bit more there. And then you go away for a year, you go to CMLL, you go to Ring of Honor, and then you do some stuff in Germany or the UK. Rev Pro. And then you come back a year later and you've sort of had a chance to go crazy. It's a very Amish way of developing talent.
It's very true.
You get like in the Amish community, you get a choice. I think when you're 18, like, do you want to continue living in our community or have a year out? Have a year out, go and see what's out there, and if you still want to come back, come back, because they don't want to. They don't want anyone there against their will, which is a very, good way of sorting it all out. And that's Jay White. I watched this happen with Jay White. He turned up. I would watch him a few times in New Japan. I don't know if he even had the Jay White name, but he was just nothing. Dark hair as well. And then he was on Ring of Honor, and you just saw a whole year of this guy coming through a bit more and a bit more and a bit more. And then I was like, oh, okay, he's pretty good. I really like him. He's missing something. And then he comes back last year, late 2017, to feud with Tanahashi. It's like, whoa, he's got a leather jacket now. And he was, the Switchblade character was born.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic idea. WWE kind of do it. They let people go to Evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they go, we're not going to sign you yet, but we will sign you, wink, wink. You're with Evolve.
NXT UK do stuff with Progress and ICW and...
WXW,
exactly, out in Germany. So, yeah, they've kind of got, like, these networks of other companies that they do let their developmental talent go out to.
The problem is, and I've always said this because people are like, oh, but an NXT UK is a great thing, or an NXT Germany or NXT Japan is a great thing. Like, yeah, but that isn't... It's just putting the Coca-Cola wrapper round a drink, and it's going to still be the same thing at a top level. It's just going to be a different rift on it. There won't be true innovation in those points. All the innovation comes from the actual independent companies on the outside. It's the same with music. It's the same with literature. It's the stuff, it's the outside influences that change the big industry leaders, and then those get absorbed into those big companies, and then a new load of outside influences start up. It's never the developmental bits of the big companies that change the industry.
Yeah, and essentially if you go to the main roster, it just gets beaten out of you anyway just to do it our way.
Exactly.
Ryan asks, are there any acts of kindness from wrestlers, whether they be personal experiences or things you've heard or seen, that stick in your mind or have made you think even more of them? I can remember a story where Sami Callihan saved a woman from a car wreck. Although I don't know about Sami Callihan before then, it made me take a liking to him early on.
Goldberg filling up a truck with WCW merchandise, driving down to an orphanage or whatever it was, a children's hospital, and just spending hours there around Christmas Eve, just giving them out. Like, Goldberg...
Not in his Santa sleigh outfit.
Yeah. Goldberg, when I'd watched WCW as a kid, and then I was sort of familiar with him from I had bad will towards him because he left. You know, he left the industry, how dare he. But then I heard that story about him. I was like, he's a good guy who was led astray by the Hogans and the Nashes.
Yeah, I could get on board with that. I can't really think of any other examples. Keith Lee's a lovely chap, though.
Gave us a free T-shirt.
He did give us a free T-shirt. Noah, this will be... I think we've only got time for one more question. So we've had a couple about the WrestleMania main event, so we'll skip those because we kind of already discussed them. So let's have... Dwayne says, hello WrestleTalk Screen Stalker crew, my question is, after WrestleMania, when the reset button is pushed and WWE season starts over, what divisions or new rivalries would you like to see get a fresh start / reboot? In my opinion, both tag team and women's divisions on both brands need a major overhaul. As always, I would like to see underutilized, underrated and underappreciated talents get used more. Keep up the good work.
Think Dolph Ziggler. Yeah, Dolph Ziggler, he'll be back. Intercontinental title feud,
he'll be back the Raw after Mania.
I don't know.
Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt.
I'd like to see. I think Bray's a very good shout for the Raw after Mania, and I think that I'd like to see him get an actual solid push, kind of like he did when he first came in, which sort of all fell apart, and then he got just completely flattened out, and then had that dreadful 1 month reign as WWE champion. He only won the belt so he could lose it to Randy at Mania. So I'd like to see something for Bray.
I'd like, I presume Kofi's going to win the title. I wouldn't put Bryan back in that program right away. I'd have Kofi switch to like maybe another Vince McMahon cipher, and Bryan can have a couple of month feud with Mustafa Ali,
yeah,
just to help get Mustafa Ali over. Also, Kevin Owens has had a really bad deal. It's just circumstance, though. Sometimes these things play out. Kofi's gotten hot. Your Mania match for the title isn't happening, KO. So I would like Owens and Sami Zayn to team up, go over to Raw, and head up that tag division with the Revival. Well, for how long? But that, you know, mix it up over there, and they actually focus on the tag division.
Yeah, I agree. That's
all we've got time for today.
Before we get out of here, though, we are recording this on a Friday.
Okay.
It's someone's birthday today. And that someone is Oliver Davis.
I legitly forget
Yeah.
Every time.
I was going to say, I said happy birthday to you this morning, and you turned to Laurie and was like, I forgot again.
Yeah, so that was 10 minutes after Laurie had given me a birthday present and gone happy birthday. Like, oh, it's my birthday. He got me a new Smash Up expansion pack.
Wow. Mm. Very cool. Which one did he get you?
He got, I can't remember the name, but it's got ghosts, mm-hmm. it's got the bear cavalry.
Nice.
And a few others.
Mm. Well, I've got some cards for you.
Some cards. Mm-hmm. Plural. I don't know why there'd be two. So this first one is a little kitchen cat wearing the headphones. Oh, and that's from Luke and Kate. Happy birthday, boss. Oh, it's sweet. I mean, the naked picture of Kate was not needed.
It was her request.
Oh, I'll keep it, though.
Yeah.
And this larger one is... full of emojis. It's emoji season, and it's a big shared card. We've never done a shared card before.
I've never had this responsibility before, but when I went to go buy your birthday card yesterday, this is why I was late to work yesterday. Yeah,
that's what the thing in Stratford was.
Yeah, this is why I was late yesterday, because I went to get your birthday card, and and then I was like, oh, I should get a birthday card for everyone to sign, because both of our editors are in. We'll have Pete here and Danson's in. Everyone can sign it. And so then I had the responsibility of like going around and making sure everyone had signed the card.
Ooh. Yeah, was I away at any point?
That's what I was waiting for you to go and like do one of your long phone call, your business phone calls.
Wow. I would always, if a card came around the office, this was a trick. I had a friend who used to live with Matt Berry.
Really?
You know,
the great-voiced Matt Berry.
The great-voiced Matt Berry, and very funny comedian. And Matt Berry...
has a voice that sounds like this.
Exactly. That's more X Factor guy. I just did. Yours was better. He would sign all the breast, cross out breast, and then put breast wishes. Matt Berry. So he was like... I did it wrong. I'm just going to do it anyway. Yeah. I always thought that was...
Did you see how... Laurie signed his one off.
Birthday cake emoji. Happy birthday, buddy. Boss and hugs and kisses. Hmm.
Very good.
Ooh.
And I've got you a present.
A proper present.
Yeah, it's not as good as Smash Up, I'm afraid. But
feels like a Funko Pop final bug.
Call it a receipt.
What is it? It's Captain It's the cat from Captain Marvel! Oh, it's Goose. Goose.
Because?
Goose. Goose.
We were talking about when you got me the Marvin the Martian one for my birthday last year, that you would have liked to have had a pop vinyl in your house, but your girlfriend doesn't really like them. But I thought, because it's a cat, you might be able to get away with that one.
You know, you keep saying pop vinyls are going to go out of business.
Yeah,
not when there's geeks to get birthday presents for.
Exactly.
That is, that's inspired. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, mate. I think it's actually a bobblehead as well.
I'll find out later. Well, that's all we've got time for today. I'm going to go off and not enjoy my birthday because I can't drink. But I'm going to have a pint anyway. You know, I've actually drunk probably more than ever since saying I'm not drinking.
Yeah, I did notice that.
Mm. Mm. Weird.
So what is it you're actually doing for your birthday?
I don't know. Of course, I've got the Grease sing-along, but that's
I meant more like today and this weekend.
Well, I can't be home before 6 p.m., but I've got to be home before 6:45.
Ooh,
my lady partner's gonna do something for me. I just imagine fellatio.
Mm.
So just a whole evening of that.
Okay, but then why have you got to be away for like that window between 6 and
stretches?
Quarter?
I don't know. Go for I was going to say jog, but that means a different thing
on this
podcast.
Very different on this podcast, absolutely.
Apparently there is a TBC event for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, if it isn't tomorrow, it's next Saturday. I was like, it's not next Saturday. Not with our WrestleMania penciled in schedule. And then on Sunday, because there's Mother's Day, I'm going to see my family. Mm. They're going to come up to Walthamstow. I'm going to ride my bike to a restaurant.
Wow.
And I'm going to show up and I'm going to get there and they're all going to be like, oh my God, you ride a bike. I'm like, yeah, I'm a hipster. We're going to have a meal.
How's...
8:17, I talked about this.
Yes, yeah. You did. Yeah, absolutely you did. On the subject of you mentioning things on the podcast and us mentioning, Cameron sent an email about Austin Powers. He says, hi guys.
Groovy.
What's Austin Powers? also says that Vuvuzela, which we've been talking about a lot, is actually pronounced Vuvuzela. The Z is the same as zebra, not the American Z. Okay, so is the... Oh, okay. Is it so zebra? So is it Vuvuzela? That's what we've been saying, though. Vuvuzela. Yeah. Rather than Vuvuzela.
Is he an American?
I don't know, but he says here, Vuvuzela is pronounced Vuvuzeeeeeela, which to me would be Vuvuzela.
Zela. Vuvuzela.
Vuvuzela. But then says it's Z the same as zebra. Not the American zebra.
Oh. I don't know what he's
trying
to
do. I don't know. Now I'm confused. I'm all confuddled.
It's the freaking porch all over again.
and he knows it was also the 2010 World Cup, so we were probably out by about 30 years or something.
Sports.
Yeah.
So I did a sports last night.
You did a sport?
What
sports did you do last night?
Well, you know I'm teetotal at the moment.
Yes, you've mentioned it.
I had 3 glasses of wine.
Yeah, go on.
And that was at the writing club.
Yeah.
It's just, it's tough to get through. It's tough to get through without drinking. I get nervous.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone's really great and the quality of work is quite intimidating. So that's why I drink in the corner.
It helps.
And I got back and Anna was at a thing, so I was just at home and I was like, oh, I'm bored. I like watched the news for half an hour.
Oh, man, that's depressing.
I know, I was just like, ugh.
Because it's Brexit today.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was like, I wonder what's going on in the wider world. And I just went on the app. It was the opening day of Major League Baseball.
Huh.
Which I used to... It was the only... Not the only part, but it was one of my favourite bits about working for ESPN back in the day. That I got to do the live coverage of Arkiva. Of the baseball.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. There's something really nice just having it on in the background. So I thought, how can I watch it now? I spent 45 minutes trying to find something. Because like BT Sport, you need like to be on the BT broadband. You can't just get the app and do it. Same with Sky. So I downloaded the MLB At Bat app.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure loads of Americans are like, oh, it's so obvious. But that's because it's advertised to you all the time. And I downloaded it. And I watched the last few innings. I don't think they're called innings.
I think they are
cricket.
Innings, aren't they? Was that a cricket thing?
I think it's a cricket thing. They're pretty much the same.
I don't know.
Rounds?
Yeah, rounds.
But it was the Cubs versus the Mariners.
Baseball.
And I thought maybe I'll see CM Punk in the crowd. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I forgot how much I like just watching American baseball. But by God, there are many adverts.
It's a long old game, isn't it, baseball?
Yeah, yeah, but that's what I liked about it, because you knew you just, at work, you could just like, okay, so it's this for 4 hours. It's not like, oh, I've got to switch to this in an hour and this.
Baseball.
But they do put in a hell of a lot of adverts. And sometimes someone will just go, pitching break, and I'll be like, oh God, I'm drinking a cup of tea. And you'll go to an ad break in 3 seconds.
I still cannot find what they're called. I've Googled quite literally what are the rounds in baseball called.
Well,
and my result was baseball is an American sport.
Uh-huh. Usually they just say the bottom of the fifth or the top of the fifth.
It is an inning.
An inning. Here we go.
There we go. We got there in the end. Thank you, Wikipedia. And lastly, before we get out of here, this comes in from Robert. It says, Luke, fake door, Ollie, evil glance at Andy. Ollie's story of his breakup at a bowling alley reminded me of a story.
I forgot about that.
A girlfriend of mine in high school organized a bowling night for us and her best friend and her boyfriend. I picked up my girlfriend and her friend to go to the bowling alley. Her boyfriend... God, this is getting confusing already. Her boyfriend was meeting us after he was off to work. The second...
What time will he arrive if he catches... 8:43 train.
The second the best friend got in my car, they started to chat about breaking up with her boyfriend. After a while of driving, awkwardly silent, I asked, shouldn't you do this on the phone? And they both glared at me and was told not to say a word. It's none of my business. So the boyfriend arrived and I armed him with this information. Had two games of bowling with horrid banter. They walked off and he broke up with her. She was bawling all the way back to her place. After she left, it was me and my girlfriend. I said, well, that was unexpected. My girlfriend looked at me and said, yeah, it was a backfire. We then had ice cream. Roberts. So more bowling breakup stories, apparently. Wow. This could become its own new segment.
Well, the split is a thing in bowling when one pin is on one side. That's right,
it is, yeah.
The split alley.
The split, yeah.
That sounds like a bad 7-10 split.
7-10 from jogging. What's that film called? Kingpin.
Oh, Kingpin's a great movie.
Great film.
So the guy who she was going to break up with, broke up with her.
That's what I'm getting from it as well. Yeah, nice. I think so. This comes in from Austin as an 80% fact. I've heard somewhere that if you cross your eyes for too long, they'll stick that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true.
Medical.
Absolutely. But that is all we've got time for on this show. We're about to go record Ramble Club. So if you are one of our $10 and above backers on Patreon, you will get to hear that on Monday.
And we will be reading Big Apple Takedown this time.
We're not going to forget.
I'm going to pick it up now.
Funny enough, actually, I did forget until you pointed at it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Good job.
It's only because I just saw it. Where are we at?
I don't even remember.
Page 105.
Nice.
Chapter 9.
Thank you so much for listening. We will see you...
Sorry, can I just read as a tease for people to pledge on Patreon? This is the first line of Chapter 9. Vince McMahon wasn't a fearful man by nature. It's going to be a banger. We just went through a boring Triple H.
Yeah, those Triple H chapters are dragging a little bit. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you on Tuesday for the Raw review. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.